This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. A case that challenges North Carolina's voting law is in its second day of arguments at a federal courthouse in Winston-Salem. At issue is whether the Voter Information Verification Act, passed in 2013, disenfranchises minority voters. The U.S. Justice Department, state NAACP, and other groups say provisions that limit early voting and eliminate same-day voter registration disproportionately affect African Americans. Opponents of that law rallied outside the courthouse yesterday.
When I say, what do you want? You say voting rights. What do you want?
Voting rights.
What do you want?
Voting rights.
The state argues the law is meant to prevent voter fraud, but whether the judge rules in favor of the plaintiffs or the defendant, the case has implications for voting laws across the country. Michael Tomczyk's following the trial for WFAE Public Radio in Charlotte and joins me now from Winston-Salem. Hello, Michael.
Hey, Frank. How are you?
Opening arguments were yesterday. There's been more testimony today. What's the latest that you've heard? What are the arguments on both sides?
So I just stepped out of court as an expert witness for the plaintiffs was testifying. His name's Dr. Morgan Kauser. And he was brought to try to make the point that whether or not the law was meant to be discriminatory. He testified that as African-American turnout increased with the help of some of these things that were curtailed, early voting, same-day registration, also counting ballots cast in the wrong precincts, in the 2000s, as North Carolina instituted those changes, African-American turnout really surged, especially in presidential elections. So he was making the point of, from his studies, taking away those things that were leading to what he described as changing the politics in North Carolina because of how many more African Americans were voting and what that meant for elections. His take was that you can look at that to try to piece together whether there is a discriminatory intent by curtailing all of those measures.
All right. And in this case, what is the role of intent and what is the role of effect? Or does effect have any part in the legal case?
It does. It does. You can win. You don't necessarily have to have both, but the plaintiffs are trying to prove both. If there is a discriminatory effect, it can still be struck down under the Voting Rights Act. If there is a discriminatory intent, well then it's very simple. Then it is obviously struck down under the Voting Rights Act.
All right. And there are other witnesses. I mean, this is a trial. There are witnesses who actually take the stand and testify in this case. Give us a sense of what it's like in the courtroom and what other witnesses are being called to testify for.
There's been a wide range of African Americans in ages and to some degree in income levels who have been brought in to tell their stories of how because of the changes they were unable to vote in the 2014 midterm election. There was a story of an elderly African American woman who has trouble walking and had her husband help her walk to the nearest polling place. It turns out that was not her right precinct. So she didn't need to vote before this law, out-of-precinct ballots would have counted. There are a variety of examples like that, and one of the real questions is the plaintiffs are trying to paint these things as, because of this law, these folks were disenfranchised. The state is basically trying to paint this as, these are just people who didn't know the rules, and where do you find that line between being disenfranchised versus just not knowing what our proper laws are?
All right. And we should say this law had been, the shorthand for this law was the voter ID law. The voter ID provision was changed recently in anticipation of this trial. Tell us about that and the implications it has in this particular case.
So state lawmakers last month very quickly and near unanimously watered down that ID requirement. They allowed more of a fail-safe option. If people don't have IDs, you can sign an affidavit. The long and the short of it is it's now not as strict an ID requirement, and that happening so close to the trial basically changed all of the research that the attorneys had been doing. So they asked for the judge for more time to figure out how that affects this case. The judge granted that, so voter ID is actually not a part of this trial happening right now.
And it's interesting because the voter ID, of course, could be seen as an obstacle by adding another thing a voter has to do before they can vote. That can be seen as an obstacle. It could be compared to earlier restrictions in voter laws in the Jim Crow years that led to the Voting Rights Act. But the other the other so-called restrictions are really benefits to voters, more voting time, voter same-day registration. That's not an impediment. Those are things that were given to voters that have not been, that were taken away. A little different point of view in terms of how the case is argued. Is that right?
Absolutely. And to your point, so these things that were, let's say mitigated as opposed to an obstacle put up like ID, one of the state's main points so far in this trial and continuing in it is the majority of states have policies like North Carolina does now. There are a whole lot of states that don't have out-of-precinct voting. There are many states that don't have any early voting. There are states that don't have same-day registration. So part of their point they're trying to make is, North Carolina is still in line with other states. So if you say this is unconstitutional here, there are going to be a bunch of states that may need to change their election laws.
And that is one of the important things that we're watching for is the implications, not just in North Carolina, but nationwide, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, if this potentially could be a case that climbs up the appeals circuit, and if it does, that would have far-reaching effects.
All right, Michael Tomczyk, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you, Frank.
Michael Tomczyk, a reporter for WFAE Public Radio in Charlotte. He joined me from the federal courthouse in Winston-Salem.